Hello, I'm Brandon.
And I'm Justine.
And this is the Cozy Co-op, a podcast where a games journalist and a creative writer talk about video games. Hello, Justine.
Hi, Brandon.
How are you?
I'm really good.
That's good. Is it because you have bra?
I have my podcast bra. Thank you, John Hodgman.
Yes, yes. Mine's a different type of bra, it looks a little different.
In case my thank you, John Hodgman, just went read really weird to the audience.
That's the name of her broth.
It's not John Hodgman of the Judge John Hodgman podcast entered in a recipe in the Maximum Fun cookbook that was a donor gift, and it was for podcast broth.
Yeah,
and it works really well.
It's good. I like it. It's like a drink, but like
soup drink.
Meaty. Anyway, we're going to be talking about Prey 2017.
Yes, we are getting very holy on this podcast. We are a bunch of Catholics, and we are taking, we're turning a new leaf, and we're only playing Christian games.
Yeah, that's why this first game is
Prey.
Definitely religious, absolutely.
Yes. Prey with an A.
Pray with an A. Well, it's they had a typo during production, and they accidentally put an E.
Oh.
So
then it had to be a horror game.
So, they had to, it was too late to change it. They already got, like, the copyright.
Mm-hmm.
Before any of that, how about we get to some news?
Oh, okay.
So, Dream Daddy, the dad simulator game by Game Grumps.
Which we are going to be talking about.
That's right. It's somewhere on our list.
Yeah.
Well, two things happened with them recently. One of which is they have a comic book series coming.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool.
Everyone's going to love because they all want to know more about the dads.
Yeah, yeah. And it's going to be I think it's five episodes, six dads.
Hmm.
It's going to be five books. One of the books, I think about two of them.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
So there's a lot of focus on each of the bachelor options. It's being done in collaboration with Oni Press. They have got guest writers and artists. It's a cool thing going on. The first one's already out there.
Dream Daddy was such a good game.
Well, they also
I'm going to play it on my new laptop because it kept glitching out on my
last
one.
Oh, yeah, you could do that. Well, they have a documentary, too. Are you familiar with NoClip?
No.
NoClip is a...
Oh, wait, were they the ones that did the documentary for Fallout?
Yes, they were.
Okay.
Yes, they were, and that's their bag, is they do video game documentaries. Because, no clip is like a gaming term.
Yes, I was about to say, is that in reference to clipping?
Yes, it is. Well, they've done a documentary about the development of Dream Daddy as well.
Oh.
35 minutes, you can go watch it online, just search Dream Daddy no clip documentary.
That sounds nice.
So it's a bunch of Dream Daddy, like, content been popping up again.
Does it tell you that the Dream Dads were based on real Dream Dads?
I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I've not watched it.
Well, I figured you hadn't, but...
I try to make a point to consume the works I talk about, you know?
You haven't played Dream Daddy either.
I haven't.
You're going to have to come over to my laptop. You're going to have to play my game.
Okay.
You're going to have to play my game.
Now you got to show me the video games.
I'm the video game girl.
Next bit, I love this one, because this sounds like an Onion article. 2K Games is asking their fans to write to Belgium.
I heard about this.
Yeah, so they want people to write to the Belgian government asking them to allow microtransactions in video games.
I cannot believe this is capitalism at its absolute worst. Hey, can you please tell them that we need to make money on these very predatory methods?
Yeah, right.
Please tell them they can't ban us from doing that.
Yeah, they straight up said that we will agree to Belgium's terms of, like, because Belgium recently classified randomized loot boxes, basically, as a form of gambling.
It is.
And ergo will not allow you to make purchases for them using real-world money.
I don't know who is for loot boxes other than game corporations, but neither of us on this podcast have any good feelings toward loot boxes.
You are absolutely correct.
In fact, Brandon doesn't even like subscription boxes.
I don't. So... if I don't know exactly what I'm getting, I get chuffed.
Yeah, so it's just another way to sap you of money for no good reason.
Even better.
Especially when it's not physical content.
Even better than when they tried to justify it by saying that basically everyone's doing it.
Whatever.
Right?
Oh, I don't care.
Oh my god. 2K Games, what are you doing?
Man, there's a reason I haven't heard of them.
I mean, you've heard of a 2K Games game. Because they're the ones who do all the sports games.
Yes, but that's it.
Because, like, this particular instance...
sports game.
This particular instance was mostly revolving around NBA 2K19.
Mm.
That's they're a well-known developer and publisher.
That's all well and good, but they need to chill.
This just made me laugh.
It's... sorry.
Some people want to buy them. Yeah.
Some people want to buy... we can't... there are so many kids there that could just accidentally buy our stuff.
Well, final bit. Nintendo's going to have a Direct. Tomorrow.
Yes. When you're listening to this, yesterday.
Oh, God, that's going to be the worst part.
Yeah.
Because now, okay, now I get to play prediction time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my predictions.
New Smash character.
There will be a Smash character reveal.
Animal Crossing Origins.
There will not be an Animal Crossing game.
It will be Animal Crossing. No,
people get upset when I say that, but I truly think it's the truth. Y'all ain't going to see Animal Crossing.
Here's what it is. It's going to be Animal Crossing Origins, and the reason it's okay that happens is, like, I get it that the lead, like, guy on that team left.
The co-director, yeah. The
co-director of the Animal Crossing stuff. I get that he left, but this is not going to be an Animal Crossing like you've ever seen it. This is going to be wild animals.
This is Animal Crossing by Infinity Ward.
No. No, because it's not going to be war. It's just going to be, no, you go to the campsite and there's all these animals there.
Okay.
And they, over the course of the game, they get more and more domesticated. And there's that, you know, we talked about this. And there's your golden retriever friend who follows you around and eventually becomes Isabelle. That's what it's going to be.
I continue to be impressed with your commitment to Animal Crossing Origins.
I am here till it, like, I'm here till I die.
Okay.
This is the hill I die on, Animal Crossing Origins.
That's the last bit of news that I have.
Are you not going to make any more predictions?
That's all I got.
What?
Smash Bros. Revealed, no Animal Crossing.
Okay.
That's it.
Exciting.
You'll probably hear something new about Pokemon Let's Go, okay. I guess.
Yeah, probably.
Luigi's Mansion. That's all I got.
Okay.
So video games. Prey.
Put your hands together for Prey.
Oh my god. I thought the joke had passed.
It's not going away until you establish
it. It rose again 3 days later. Who would I thought?
It's not going away until you establish what this actually is.
So, Prey is...
with an E.
A first-person shooter... developed by Arkane Studios, published by Bethesda, and it takes place in space where a series of alien entities have taken over a space station, and you do your cool protagonist thing of clearing them out.
Is this the one where the aliens are mimics?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. They brought back the mimic, the first alien creature, because these aliens are called typhoids.
Like the fever?
Yes.
Okay.
Because they had a reason.
Okay.
Or is it typhid? Typhod? T-Y-P-H something or other.
Okay.
But yeah, there's mimics where the tiny variation that can imitate real life objects. Blah, blah.
And everyone who's played D&D knows just what a
you
bitch
know exactly
mimics
the
mi- are.
Oh, God. This game's terrifying.
I remember you playing
it. For a while.
And showing me all the videos where you got scared.
They would get me every time, all over. I'd be at the end of the game, and it would still get me sometimes. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, oh, shotgun ammo.
Yeah.
God.
That's the noise they make.
So, this is not anything like Prey 2008.
Yes, when I brought this up to my brother, I mentioned something about you playing Prey, and he was like, the 2008 game? And I was like, well, it's not a VR game, right?
You know, I think they actually added a VR option not long ago.
I don't know why I kept thinking you played it in VR.
I did not play this in... I played Resident Evil in VR.
I do remember God, you shouting.
God, we have to talk about that one sometime,
I never heard Brandon yell before until he was playing Resident Evil VR, and then he scared the bejesus out of me.
It was mutual.
No, my brother had looked really confusedly at me because he's like... No, that game came out in 2008. I was like, but he got the pre-order.
I'm a little surprised to hear that he didn't know about 2017. It was well publicized.
Yeah, I don't know.
But here's the deal, right? In 2008, there was a game called Prey. This featured a Native American man by the name of Tommy, whose family gets abducted by aliens, and he has to go rescue them.
Okay.
I played the original Prey. Blew my mind because I forgot what it was called for the longest time, but it was very dark, very gritty for what was I, 12?
Sure.
Something, child Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
And it stuck with me with how dark it was, but I had forgotten the name.
I was 11, so you were probably...
13.
Yeah.
And this game came out, and I was like, that sounds really familiar, but because this game is so different, I never made the connection until, like... 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's because Prey 2 was originally set in... it's 2006 Prey. It's when the first one came out. Okay. Not 8. They were going to make a second Prey, the studio who made the first one, Human Head Studios. They were working on a second one, but the project was eventually canceled.
Mm.
However, Bethesda still owned the rights to Prey at the time.
Ah.
And they held on to that IP... until they eventually offered it to Arkane Studios.
Okay.
Arkane then was like, hey, instead of a sequel, why don't we just make, to quote, a reimagining of the IP.
Okay.
And that's what this game is. So it holds the only similarities between this Prey and the last Prey is you start off with a wrench.
Oh, okay.
That's about it.
Can you explain to me what IP stands for?
Intellectual property.
Okay. I should have asked that question because as soon as the question was out of my mouth, I answered it in my head. But that's fine, in case anyone in our audience didn't know what that meant.
Yep.
I, of course, as a writer who had this written throughout my contract, would know what IP
that
stands for.
That is a good point. You have IP.
I did, yes.
No, so... incredibly different games. However, this game is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I think it's one of my favorite games of 2017.
Oh, okay.
Like, it was that good.
I didn't know you liked it that much.
I loved it. I had scheduled my vacation conveniently for the same week of this game's release.
I think I keep confusing this game with that Mars game that you said fell kind of flat that you did play in VR.
Mars game? Oh,
what was it?
I cannot remember what it was called. You're right. But it did fall kind of flat. I know.
And I think you were playing it at the same time and you also pre-ordered
that one.
Yes, I
did. I had gotten both of them. I was playing them both during that vacation.
So I confused the two a lot. So if anything I say is like weird, it's probably because I'm thinking of the Mars game.
So I have one little random fact I want to tell you so I can throw this paper away.
Okay.
The Prey has no direct connections to any other games.
Mm-hmm.
However, a coffee mug with the Transstar logo, Transstar being the company that this all happened to, can be found in The Evil Within 2 as a collectible.
Oh, what is that?
Well, I mean, you know, an Easter egg.
No. The evil. What is the Evil Within? I know what a collectible is. You...
The Evil Within was a psychological horror game, also published by Bethesda. I can't recall who developed it.
Oh, okay. Bethesda likes to.
Bethesda
make callbacks.
Publishes. They like that. Yeah, you can find an Elder Scrolls Online emblem. That...
Mm-hmm.
The Evil Within 2 made a reference to just about every Bethesda IP.
You walk into the computer room and just point, that man is playing Elder Scrolls Online.
So, Yeah, the game starts, you are playing as Morgan Yu. You know why?
Me.
Why you?
Because I'm
I knew it! When I said it, I knew it would, but it... Okay. You play as Morgan Yu, right?
Yes.
You know why I love that?
Because it's you.
Because you can still choose to be male or female.
Oh, yeah. Morgan does a, is a...
It is.
Yeah.
And I love that they did that. The I think the canonical option is the male variant, but...
Yeah.
That's, you know, male normative blah blah stuff in the industry.
Aw. Well, I appreciate you bringing it up. It's kind of like the Undertale kid. Like,
I don't think the technically they don't have a...
Right.
The name behind the Undertale kid is a confusing one. I'll have to tell you about that.
I didn't know it had a name.
Chara.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. And weird things happen if you name your character that.
Oh. Okay.
There's a lot of weird stuff going on with Undertale. Well, the episode we have for that one will be a long one.
Okay.
But you wake up. And you are going to go meet with your brother to talk about this business that you run together, Transtar. And they work with advanced technologies, particularly with biomechanics.
Ah, okay.
And they're working on a thing called neuromods, where imagine you could install upgrades to your physical self. You know, this is...
Yes.
This is the equivalent to, like, plasmids from BioShock, really.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you go meet with him. Something goes wrong. You wake up back in your room. And then you go do it again.
Interesting.
It goes more wrong. Guy reaches for his coffee cup. His coffee cup jumps out and strangles him in the face. You have to break out of here. You find out you've been in a simulation.
Oh, I remember this bit.
Yeah. You find out that you're not on Earth at all, actually. You are...
Were you ever on Earth?
You were in... I mean, at one point in time. But you're in space. And you don't remember any of this. And you find out it's because when you remove a neuromod... Because you can remove them. But when you do, you lose all memory up to when it was installed.
Hmm.
And as it turns out, you... The president of this company were voluntarily undergoing repeated neuromod installation and removal.
Jeez.
To see how it would affect the human form.
Oh, wow, okay.
And then, so you're sitting here finding, you know, transcripts of yourself talking to people, and you're like, is this me? Do I agree with what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and... It plays the amnesia card very well.
Does the main character talk?
Yes.
Like, real time, not just in, like, recordings?
Yes.
Okay.
Because you meet with NPCs and you interact with them
okay.
and all that. It's a nice, proper, like...
RPG.
It's linear.
True.
I don't know what RPG stands for anymore, you know?
Role-playing game.
I know that. Today's just a day of... misconceptions. Because, like, it's vaguely open world. Do you level up? I don't know. I'd consider it action-adventure more than anything, to be honest. But, yeah, you play this game, and you find out that aliens have infested your giant space base of operations.
Space base.
So you're stuck trying to fight them off. You're trying to find your brother. You're trying to find literally anyone. And you're trying to figure out, you know, what's going on and how can I stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And all the while, you can install neuromods to improve your abilities and whatnot, blah, blah. That's the introduction to the game.
Okay.
I like it. It plays... It's very... It has a wonderful combination of gameplay and narrative.
Mm-hmm.
In that, if I did not pay any attention to what's going on, I would still have a good time playing.
That's good.
Because the game's mechanics themselves were enjoyable. You can find like one of four basic resources and use those to craft ammunitions or healing items. You know, you have an inventory system, you have multiple side quests, some optional, some actually have story behind them. There's this whole thing about finding a woman named Danielle.
What does Danielle do?
She is the systems, the technical systems administrator.
Mm-hmm. Is she dead? But
you find out more about her and like how she interacted with people, and then her relationship with a coworker and everything.
Hmm.
Which I'll get into that later. I have that down here.
Oh. Where do the aliens come from? Do you know anything about that?
I don't remember where they came from.
Well, they're just there.
Oh my god, I totally cannot remember why they showed up. There was a reason, but I can't remember what it was.
You smelled good.
Well, the thing is, like,
I'm guessing it has to do with the biomechanics.
Well, I can't... Where they came from, I can't recall. But you're right in that you can actually get and install Typhid neuromods. You could start becoming like them.
So yeah, like, I'm guessing it has a lot to do with the biomechanics.
You could even become a mimic. You could gain the mimic ability if you wanted.
In the game?
In the game.
And just become a box of ammo?
Yeah.
Why?
To hide from enemies.
I suppose. Did you do that?
No.
Why?
Because I had a feeling it didn't want me to.
Oh.
They did this thing to where... Obviously, there are benefits to installing Typhid.
Right.
Neuromods. However, then you're injecting yourself with elements you don't understand.
Yes.
And is that good or that bad? How will that change the character? How will that change me? For example, the automated turrets don't shoot me if I'm human. Because they detect Typhid material. So if I start installing Typhid mods, they'll start shooting you. Yeah.
You should do a playthrough where you just go full mimic.
See, and I'm sure there are people who have. I thought about it myself, but I had played it for nothing but a week straight, yeah, so I figured I'd set it down.
Yeah.
Like, they even have that whole, like, branching, how do you want to play this game your way type stuff.
Yes. So, with mimic DNA, you can hide from other mimics, but you are susceptible to your own weaponry. That just seems buck wild to me. That's really playing into the character.
It's genius. I love it.
Like, you become this thing that you are hiding from, and at the same time, you are now the enemy of what you were. It's so poetic.
It plays on the idea of identity a lot.
I see.
Because there's times where, like, you discover that apparently one of the side effects of, you know, I'll save that for after the ad break.
Okay.
There's a lot I'm skeptical to say yet because of spoilers. So yeah, buckle in, y'all. Second half is gonna be spoilery.
He just went full mimic for just a half a second.
just kind of squiggled out there for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. But another thing that I appreciated about this game was it is LGBT friendly. Did I get the letter combination?
Yes, you did.
I even typed it wrong, I noticed.
There are several different... LGTB is also fine. Like, it's in there.
I got the primary four letters in there.
Yes.
Well, I like how it handled representation. In that this Danielle Show, she's in a homosexual relationship with a coworker.
And is that allowed?
It is.
You're allowed to date your coworkers?
That part may have been more
That's
sketchy.
What I was asking about. You thought I was asking if she was allowed to be a lesbian?
Well, that's the thing, is like, the way they handled allowed. It was very nice. They even had you picking up random bits of evidence of their relationship, you know, both in the highs and lows.
Oh, just like recordings?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
I thought it was like, an object here, an object there. You putting the details together.
Well,
Things you don't want to see, maybe.
Well, the thing is, like, you'll find a recording in one of their rooms, and then it's a conversation between them, and then you'll find a different recording saying, oh, that they're gonna be, you know, going on a date this Thursday and whatnot. Mm,
that's cute.
And I liked how they handled it. Another good example was your secretary. Because mm-hmm. you're the president, I think it was president, of this place. So you have a secretary. And I love this. If you find the password to your secretary's desk, mm-hmm. it's like OMG hot boss exclamation point. No, I was playing as a male, and I happened to know it was a male secretary, so I was like, oh.
Interesting.
Now, I can only assume the password's the same if it's female, but, like, I like that. I like how they don't.
That's
they
the
don't
password?
It. Yeah, that was his computer password, right?
Hot boss? I'm so OMG into hot this. Boss. Oh my gosh.
I felt weird professionally.
It's like a National Geographic documentary I love that about too. Gays in the office place.
The passwords aren't boring passwords. Uh-huh. They're like actually, they make sense for the characters.
Hot boss is an amazing password because who the heck is going to guess your password is, oh my god, hot boss?
Well, Morgan is an attractive male and or female.
They are, but still, who's gonna okay.
Hot.
Only the boss.
Hot boss.
Hot
Hashtag
boss.
Hot boss.
Hashtag hot boss.
No, like, a lot of what this game did, I appreciated.
Is it time for ad break?
It is time. Probably should have been a bit few minutes earlier, but whatever.
That's fine.
After a hard day's work, it's nice to kick back and relax. And there's no better way to do that than at the Yellow Tulip Lounge. Tizzy the operator is always on hand to serve you a refreshing drink as you take in the live music. And for this weekend only, Alex Yu will be here in person to celebrate the 8,000th Neuromod sold. Did we mention it'll even feature a live musical performance by technical systems admin Daniel Sho and station monitor Sky Braxton? The Yellow Tulip Lounge, where class can relax.
I'm guessing the Yellow Tulip Lounge is on the space port.
Yes, it is. And I actually made a very specific reference in here. That actually does happen. You find, like, audio recordings saying that they had a celebration at this lounge for the 8,000th Neuromod that they sold.
Oh, interesting.
And it featured a live musical performance by those two characters, who have never touched a musical instrument.
Oh, no.
However, They did accept a musical enhancement Neuromod.
Uh-huh.
So for the first... And you can actually hear the music and whatnot, and it sounds good.
That's a good song.
And, like, I really liked that small discovery because it was so optional.
Mm-hmm.
But it really added some kind of, like, flavor to the world,
yeah.
You know? The inner connectivity, you know, Alex, you, your brother, you know, making these promotional things just for the staff who were involved. I can't recall if Sky was Daniel Show's partner or not.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if that was just a partner or the coworker. I can't remember the partner. There's a lot of names, all right?
There's a lot of people, yeah, and you don't see a lot of them.
You don't. Though I do remember the Russian cook who's not actually the cook.
Oh?
So, spoilery.
Is it cook in the books?
Spoilery time. Okay, so, you know how they're doing a lot of their Neuromod testing?
How?
With death row inmates.
Oh, no. Yep. I was so ready to like this company.
Nope, you shouldn't. They've done a lot of bad things.
Okay.
For example, like, who they're selling to hasn't been the most savory either.
Mm.
Well, when everything went bad, you find a guy claiming to be the chef. Now, this is a very large, rugged, like, scruffy-looking man, kind of overweight, talking with a Russian accent. You also happen to know that the chef is a scrawny Swedish man.
Hmm.
So things don't quite add up, and you eventually figure out he was an escaped inmate posing as the cook.
How long?
Well, after things went bad.
Oh, okay.
Just because
there's still people there, like, just going about their business?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you showed up like, you broke free from your infinite loop thing.
Yeah.
When everything went bad. That's what caused you to break out, is when the aliens invaded. Uh-huh. So there's a lot of people around still alive. There's a lot who aren't.
But just going about their business?
No.
No, okay.
No. He's bunkered up and, like, protecting stockpiles of food and whatnot. Okay. But he's doing it under the chef's identity and whatnot.
I see.
Which, next spoiler bit, you do find Danielle.
Oh, good. I was afraid she would be dead. Why are you looking at me like that?
She is alive when you find her.
Oh, she proceeds to be dead.
In her desperation to find her partner amongst the chaos, she finds herself outside of the space station.
You're not supposed to be there.
With limited air in her suit.
Uh-huh.
Not enough air to get back in.
Right. Okay.
You manage to find her at a window by following all of the signs. Mm-hmm. Just enough for you to tell her the fate of her partner.
Wow. Okay. I'm not into this anymore.
So, yeah.
I could get into a whole diatribe about kill your gays, but we won't do that here.
Well, in the game's defense, most people are dead.
Yeah.
But yeah, of course they did the trope of the romantic couple dies. This one happening to be homosexual.
Uh-huh.
They did fall for that.
Yes.
Well, things go on. You find out that you have to make a choice between, like, blowing up the entire space station to stop the typhoid invasion or whatnot. God, I wish I could remember the end stuff better.
Been a while, huh?
It has about a year.
Yeah.
Oh, God, a year and a half. Jesus. Anyway.
It's not been a year and a half.
Been a year and a half.
When were you playing this?
A year and a half ago. In May of 2017.
It's not been 6 months since May.
4 months.
Okay.
So close enough to half.
All right.
Anyway, can I tell you the big spoiler?
Yes. Go ahead.
It was all a simulation.
Oh, was it?
You know who you actually are?
Who are you?
You're a Typhon.
What?
Wait, so
you're telling me they didn't want you to be more mimicky, even though that's what you are?
They were playing on the concept of identity the whole time, because, yeah, it turns out you were not Morgan, you're a Typhon.
Okay.
They spent all of this, and apparently this is after everything went bad. They put you through that simulation to see what you would do. Do you embrace the Typhon energy? Do you destroy the Typhon race? Or do you, you know, do you stay honorable, stay kind? Do you help others? Do you do something good for them but harder for yourself? Blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
And, like, at the end, it's the scientist and Alex Wu, the brother, remarking about all of the choices you made. So it does that whole, like, conclusion wrap-up. The idea was they spent so much time trying to figure out how they could incorporate Typhon power and energy into people, when really they should have tried to figure out how they could put what made people special into Typhids. And that was the ability to reason and show compassion.
Okay.
And you were evidence of them trying to make that happen.
Okay. Does Alex even have a brother?
I don't know. Maybe. That's a good point. What? I assumed yes, but I can't recall if they actually say no or not.
Well, that's all very... Where did they get you?
You Typhon you?
Yeah.
Well, presumably they just captured one. Like, they have the technology.
I suppose. I guess I'd have to, like, see this game, because...
It's an experience.
I'm wondering where a lot of it comes from.
That's fair. I, w- I would love for you to play it sometime, now that I've spoiled all of it.
But it's spooky.
It is.
There are many jump scares.
It is fast action paced and spooky and jumps.
Spooky.
And yeah, that is true. So you may have to get good.
What? I'll have to what?
Get good?
I'm so tired of you telling me that.
You know how to make it stop.
Oh my. Please tell me. I don't know how.
Can I tell you about the DLC?
Yes, I didn't know there was a DLC of this thing.
Well, yeah, they announced it not long. I can't remember if they announced it at E3 or not, but they announced a new DLC for it called Moon Crash, which was
Do you crash into the moon? Or do you crash the moon?
The moon's involved.
Okay.
It is a roguelike.
Ah.
Do you remember what that
yeah,
is?
Yeah, it's a Hammer Watch.
Yeah, yeah. It is a roguelike taking place on the moon.
Okay.
I don't think you play as Morgan Wu anymore. I think you play as just a random person. I think you can choose who you start as, actually.
Are you a mimic?
No, you're a person. But the goal is escape the moon.
I'm sorry I keep yawning. I'm very tired.
It's okay.
Okay.
Your job, escape the moon, try to rescue other people if you can. However, if you die, that's it. You have to start over back from the beginning.
Rescue other people from what?
Typhids.
Oh.
Rogue robots.
Okay.
Operators, which are a type of robot.
Interesting.
And it was very... It's
a lot going on in this game.
It was a very good DLC. Like, very highly regarded. A bit of news that I left out because I figured I'd just talk about it in the game section. An update happened for this DLC just recently called the Rogue Moon Update.
Okay.
Which celebrates roguelikes throughout history.
Oh.
In the form of operator skins. So.
Oh, cute.
And yeah, it's basically you'll find these operators and instead of just being your standard like robot coat of paint, it'll have a painting on the side of Spelunky. It'll have Risk of Rain, The Darkest Dungeon. It's just, there's like these six different skins for these operators, all referencing a popular roguelike game.
That's cute.
It is cute. I liked it. It was a nice
little nod.
Nice little nod. Yes. So...
Is this going to be a short episode?
I guess it is. Because a lot of what really clicks with it is the story. There's Dungeons and Dragons.
In the game?
You don't get to play it.
Oh.
But you find people's character sheets.
Of course. There are a bunch of nerds working at a science facility. Like,
one of the weapons you can get is a crossbow that shoots Nerf darts.
Oh, wonderful.
And, of course, it deals no damage.
Yeah, it's just fun.
However, you can press buttons with it.
Oh, excellent. Yes.
I like that they gave it at least that functionality. Yeah. Only later did I discover a bunch of the D&D nerds on the moon, on the space base were using them for their LARPing.
LARPing on the space base?
Of course.
That sounds dangerous.
There's actually notes
and also
from...
also terrible.
There's notes from management telling staff to
stop it, yeah.
Stop shooting each other at work.
My God.
there's Goop.
Goop?
G-O-O-P. Don't ask me what it stands for, but I remember it's Goop. No.
Their version of
no,
LARPing?
I'm sorry. It's not...
Corp?
It's the glue gun. Does it shoot Goop? You get a gun that when you shoot it, it just forms a giant blob.
Yeah.
And you can use it to, like...
Harness things.
Not freeze, but, like, capture
yeah.
and get enemies stuck.
Okay.
You know?
A goo gun.
Yeah. I think it's spelled, like, G-L-U. I can't remember what it stands for.
Glue gun.
So okay. It's a glue gun. It's nice because you can just splat, 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 make a staircase up against the wall, and you can just use it to get up places.
I think I saw you using this.
It's a fun little toy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The glue gun.
That sounds... they've got a fairly simple, linear thing going. I'm sure they had a lot of fun throwing bonus stuff in there to make it more
That's what I liked about it, is they often threw small things you couldn't quite access yet because you could come back and use your newfound powers to do so, you know? Mm-hmm. I think there's... Was there a jet pack? Yeah, there's like a jet pack system and that lets you get new places, a whole bunch
That's
of stuff.
That's fun.
I remember there was a greenhouse and I wanted inside, but I ran out of like hacking modules.
Ah.
So what I did instead was formed a glue like staircase and I climbed up over onto the roof because it was an open roof because it was a greenhouse.
I see.
So I made my way
You
in,
got your own way
only
in.
To die very quickly from the typhoids within.
Oh no.
Because there's these really, really big fat floaty boys and they're like, oh, and then they shoot you and you die.
That sounds terrible.
It was rough.
I'm sorry that you had to go through that.
Worth it. So, there's a lot of fun to be had with this game. If you like the story, if you like just raw gameplay, there's a side thing where you can get an achievement for just finding all the dead people.
Oh, like,
if
that's
you,
depressing.
If you go to a section, you can find a computer and it'll list everyone who works there.
Oh, yeah. I remember you doing that, too.
Yeah, and you can select a person and it'll help you find that person.
Yeah.
And then, like, you can find everybody. Of course, they all have real names and, like, you can find it's not holotapes, it's encoded message, whatever,
yeah,
relating to all of them. Blah, 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 blah. You can get the Prey exoscoot, like a space suit, whatever they call it. You can get one of those in Fallout 4.
Really?
In the Creation
Club
thing. Oh,
in the Creation Creators Club, yeah.
Yeah, the Creation Club features stuff from all over Bethesda,
right,
and including Prey. That's cool. Arkane Studios is also the people who made Dishonored.
Ah, I thought I recognized the name.
Mm-hmm. The people that... I loved Dishonored. I got beef with the symbol they used for the plague.
Oh, yeah.
Because it happens to look like an hourglass without the bottom line.
Which is...
That sounds a lot like the Lizard Rock symbol.
Yeah, if you go to thelizardrock.com, you will see the Lizard Rock symbol, mm-hmm, that Brandon uses for everything. It's his branding.
Yeah, look at my symbol and then look up Dishonored Plague,
mm-hmm,
and then look at the symbol that they use. Come on, y'all.
There you have it, folks. Brandon is a plague on humanity.
Why must you... That's the weird thing, is that specific symbol is used explicitly to mark the areas of disease and plague.
Yeah.
So the fact that I have a tattoo.
You have
of
it
that.
On your chest.
I'm literally marked with plague.
Yeah. It's like black spot, but even worse because
you
did it yourself.
I did it myself. I was there first.
Yeah.
I put this on 2012. That game came out in 2014. Screw them.
You should sue them.
I would love to.
Oh, my God.
I won't because I like too
we
much
should,
respect, but...
We should wrap this up.
Okay. Yeah, we're just about out of things anyway. So, I recommend, if you haven't played Prey, play Prey. Either of them, honestly.
Prey,
06
Prey,
or 17.
Sure.
If you haven't played Prey, pray that you can play Prey.
You might be able to find them on the Humble Store.
If it is available on the Hundable store, I'll have... The Hundable store.
The Hundable store.
It's run by...
Nope, don't make a joke, just proceed.
Okay. If it's available there, I'll have links to that in the show notes. If you could give us a review on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Couldn't remember the second half of what Stitcher was. That would be helpful. That would make me happy. Because that helps people see us. We've been getting some new viewers, and that's been nice. And I think it's because of reviews and whatnot.
Oh, that's nice. Did we get any more reviews?
I didn't actually look.
Okay. I shouldn't have asked.
Good to call me out on that one.
Sorry. I'll cut this out.
You can also find us on Twitter at Cozy Co-op Podcast, on Facebook on the same name. Give us an email at cozycoop@thelizardrock.com. Business casual email. Tell us about a game. Tell us a game you want us to talk about. Anecdotes. All that stuff. Say hello.
Also, tell your friends, so sorry for the low energy of this episode. It's not usually like this.
It's been a long day. We work hard.
Yes.
And we don't play as hard, apparently.
Yeah. I was listening to the latest Schmanners episode from Travis and Teresa McElroy, and they were talking about how they were in their Disney World hotel room recording their next Schmanners episode, and they were like, oh yeah, we had to record it in the closet. And I was like, oh, you Gee, children.
I wonder what that feels
like. I wonder what that's like. They're like, we were hunched over and so tired in the closet. I'm like, oh yeah, come at me.
Maybe that's what I need. I need to like better feng shui this room up. Get some
It's a closet. It's your storage
Get some like greenery in the corners. No. Yellow on the western side.
We don't
side.
Need more stuff in here.
Anyway, news is found at thelizardrock.com. I write news every Monday through Friday in the morning there. Check it out. If you want to support the podcast, like the Humble Store, for example, you can find out more information about that at thelizardrock.com/support. Now, my favorite part, next week's episode. What are we talking about?
We are talking about Slutty Sam. I can't remember the name. Gosh.
Yep, you got it.
It's certainly not That's Surgeon it. Simulator. What the heck was it called?
Super Seducer.
There it is.
We are talking about Super Seducer 2.
Gotcha.
Slutty Sam.
I couldn't remember what it was called. Oof. I knew it had an S in there. I knew it was alliteration, and I knew it had an S.
That's like a spinoff of Leisure Suit Larry.
You see, I was conflating the two also.
Beautiful. Anyway, that's it for us.
Leisure Suit Larry and his cousin Slutty Sam.
Larry, yeah, and they team up to, I don't know. That's
Spoiler,
it for today.
Spoiler, Sam's a girl.
Cozy up with us next week on
the Cozy Co-op. Outro music, finally.
You know, Slutty Sam was my name in college.